Is it ready to go up? Oh, we're up. We're here. We're in a warmer place than outside. How's that? It's warm in here for the most part, but it's a good day. And I want to continue on our process of looking at some things of God and survival, thriving, and being blessed by God. Last week I began to share, and it started out in Genesis. We talked about that because we're talking about how God made everything that he made. And then to him, at that time of the beginning of creation, in Genesis 1:31, he said it was very good. So I know we look around now at this place, this earth, where we live, things that are going on, and we don't see it as very good, do we? Well, God didn't see it as very good either after the sin came into the garden. But prior to that coming in and the separation of that and God and man because of sin coming in between us, before that, God said it was very good. Talked about how God's plan from the very beginning was for man to be enriched and to be prosperous and have a good life or an abundant life. Talked about the covenant that this was made to Abraham back in Genesis 17. We touched upon that because today we are recipients as well as Abraham for that covenant. So we have that covenant taking place even in today for us. And that was in Genesis 17:5, and it's for us today. You go to Genesis 17:6-9 speaks of this covenant. Then I touched into the New Testament real quick, talking about what Jesus was talking about, 10:10 in John, that the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and to destroy. And Jesus says this, that I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So, you know, from the very beginning of the God's plan, and then once sin came in and separated us, God's desires and thoughts still wanted us to be blessed. Still wanted to have a prosperous people. We go through all the Old Testament and the situations that came about there. We get into now the New Testament and now Jesus has come. And Jesus is resonating that same thing that he says that I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And it's not a rich scheme and how to get rich and wealthy and all that. But if you've got your health, you're rich, you know, if you've got a place to call home and a roof over your head, especially in times like this to where it's negative winds out there and even basic temperature sometimes is negative single digits to negative double digits. And you've got a roof over your head and a furnace that works and whatnot and your pipes don't freeze, you're blessed, man. That's an abundant life. I know there's some in the day who would think that that's not being abundant. That's just I'm owed that. You know, I'm due that, but that's not the case. But anyway, we are blessed, and Jesus is just reaffirming that, I believe, from what was from the very foundations of the earth. We're just now, I think, is where I kind of got to, because before I knew it, the time had slipped away, and I had only covered like this much of my paper, and now we're still at the beginning half at this point. But what started all this was Psalms 1, the first three verses in Psalms 1. And it starts off this way, Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or the wicked, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit to its in its seasons, or season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So here we go. Blessed is that man. But to be a blessed man, you need to walk what? In the wise counsel, don't you? Who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of those sinners or wickedness, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. We got to stay connected to God. We need to stay close to God. We need to meditate with the things of God, don't we? To be able to be counted in that area of being blessed. And then he says this, that he'll be like a tree. How many in here feel like a tree? You know? A tree that is planted by the rivers of water. That brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So we look at that word blessed. That's what we're talking about. Are we here today? Are you to say, I am blessed? Yes. What's that course? I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. I am blessed. Yeah, when I wake up in the morning or I lay my head to rest, what am I? I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. We've got to get an understanding. You need to hold on to that. Even in some of your times of pains and discomfort and things that we're not totally, you know, feeling good all the time, or things come across our path, but we got to still look back and say, but I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I know who I have. I know who I am in Christ. I am blessed. Blessed is not only the word that begins the psalm, but it lies at the essence of what is promised to those who read and meditate on the Word of God. It's hard to be blessed. It's hard to have wisdom of God if you don't read His Word, isn't it? For I believe, as we are looking in Sunday school for the adults on Proverbs, that there's just so much wisdom, so much direction that we find in the Bible, that it's God speaking to his people, and he's wanting to give us sound advice, doesn't he? But to be in those levels of understanding, to be there with him, and to understand the things that he's saying, we need to meditate on what he has said. And to meditate on something doesn't mean you just read it one time and go on and then forget about it. Meditate is maybe you just take one particular verse, one particular scripture, and you just meditate on it. Let it get down into your spirit, man, as far as what the Word of God is saying about you. In Hebrew, it is blessings is equivalent to the Greek word for blessed or happy. You know, you find that in Matthew 3. I don't know if we need to turn there, but basically just Matthew 3 says, or I'm sorry, 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Even calls us blessed when you are being reviled and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you falsely for Christ's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So we find this word blessed, blessed, indicating from the root word from the root word indicating a large or of long duration. The word is an adjective suggesting happy, supremely blessed, a condition in which Congratulations are in order. It is a grace word that expresses the special joys and satisfactions granted the person who experiences salvation. And that's where our salvation, that's when we really are blessed. Amen. Our salvation to where we are sinners, dead to our, you know, sin has us, you know, right around the neck, choking us out. But Christ came, and as we have salvation through him and that life and a new creation, boy, I tell you what, you're blessed then, aren't you? You're happy. You know, when we received Christ into our lives, I'm sure many of us became happy. Amen. In verse 3 of Psalm 1, it ends with, "And whatever he does shall prosper." Whatever he does. Notice that God didn't just specify a certain one or two things that you do that will be prospered, did he? And whatever he does shall prosper. God intends to bless you and those areas of your life as well. How many here feel blessed by God today, huh? My goodness. I have got tears in my nose. And it doesn't help. My eyes are kind of in the watering stage now, too. So I'm up here reading, and it's like, oh, goodness gracious. But God intends his blessings to be upon you in a very variety of ways of your life. See, God is not just blessing us. And that's where sometimes I've gotten to the point where, you know, you're like, oh, God, what more can I ask? I have salvation through Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. You've granted me, you know, that access to when I die, you know, I'm going to spend eternity with you in heaven, and, you know, Jesus has gone to prepare a place for me. I'm blessed. What more do I need? But God in his heart, God in his attributes of being a blessing God, he desires more for Tim. And he says, Tim, that's just the beginning. It's a great beginning. It's a necessary beginning, yes, for Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. But there's more to become of that. So as being blessed, he intends more than just one area of your life. This can include in family. You get a family, being blessed within your family, your children, your marriage, your business, a ministry, your job. You name it. Whatever you set your hand to, and that you're a child of God, and of course that it doesn't go against what God is about, okay? But as you put your hands to things, as you're hearing from him and obeying and following him, he's going to bless those steps that you take, amen? And usually what will happen is as we get connected to him to that point is that, you know, he orders our path. He orders my steps. And if I say, well, Lord, order my path today. Set my feet on your path today. I believe, and I'm under the understanding, and I am walking in faith then, that as I'm on his path that day, that there's going to be blessings. If something comes across it that's maybe opposite of the things of God, because those tribulations and those trials will be there, I'm still going to go that path because I'm going to turn them over to who? God. Let him go before me. If it's the path that he has chosen for me, he will do what? Prepare the way. Getting back to our times with the children of Israel as they're going through the wilderness, he was with them day in and day out, didn't he? He never left them as much as he'd probably like to after, you know, some of the things that they just kept complaining and whining about. But he remained faithful to them. It's a sad thing that they didn't remain faithful to him, though, did they? They whined, they bickered, they complained, they murmured. But God was still there. God, remember, had that special place picked out for them in that land flowing with milk and honey. So here, look at that. God's desire was he was going to transition the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, put them in the wilderness by his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, promised them that promised land in Canaan. What he promised them centuries and centuries before, he was going to fulfill with those people. Even though some of them didn't want to go, he was still faithful to what? His word. His plan. What he wanted to accomplish. As he got there and we got the children over into Canaan and that promised land, finally, you know, we've discussed that a few weeks back. It was a rich land. It was a blessed land. It was a land, yes, that they were going to work, but they had a place that when you worked and did what you were to do, you would prosper because it was just a phenomenal soil, just whatever it was, land, perfection, whatever it was perfect because it was land flowing with milk and honey. Our days that we have today, many of us talk about at times of being in that wilderness, don't we? We can kind of understand some of the things that the children of Israel are going through, even though it might just be you by yourself. You know, you're not with thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of people or whatever going across. You're not all in one big group, but you're individually going in and going through maybe a wilderness time in your walk with God. But God has promised to bring you through that if you've heard him and are obeying him and to a much better place that's before you. Now, as we look at what's before, you know, when the Lord says, Tim, what I've got in the front of you and your future is going to be phenomenal. It's going to be such a wonderful place. It's going to be such a place of provision and taking care of and blessing and abundance. God is telling me that. But I'm looking at where I'm at now in this particular walk and time frame of my life or whatever it might be, and I'm looking and I'm going, I don't see anything but problems right here in front of me. What's he talking about, the promise of that good land or that Canaan or that point in my life where, Tim, your life will be into that land with flowing with milk and honey and whatever such situation is and wherever he's taking each one of us individually. But I've got to learn to overcome those things that I see initially that are obstacles and trust God that those obstacles will be what propel me further into what my future is going to be. Because it's only as those times happen in our lives with situations that aren't always the most perfect things going on, that's when we really see the hand of God on our life, don't we? That's when we see something happening. Because then when it's so bad, it's like the only way it can be good is God. Because I've tried it and it's failed. Nobody can help me. It's just between me and my God. And we surrender to him and allow him to bear that situation because he says he will. God is a God of his word. If not, he wouldn't have taken the children over to Canaan. He would have said, forget it. And there's times that he would rather have just left them where they're at. But then I think Moses interceded and said, but then the Egyptians will be right. You brought them out here to kill them. And God didn't want that because that wasn't God's purpose. God's purpose was to take them to a better place. But they were just headbutting and just, you know, like, I don't know what, goats or mules, something, just, you know, just like, ugh, problems. Now when everything was going good, they were happy. Anybody here like that? When things are going good, hallelujah, God's good, everything's good, I'm a child of God, hallelujah. All of a sudden, shoo, feel like you just fell off of a cliff. Something's happening, something's going on, troubles abound. Well, I thought I was a child of God, I guess he's left me to die out here. God, did you survive and keep me survived up to this point in my life just to leave me here? Well, you know he didn't, right? God is not like that. He wants to get you all the way to his blessings and what he has for you in your life. So again, he intends to bless us in every part of your life, no matter what it is. But remember to no promise from God is without responsible action to be taken on our part. You know, we just had that back in Proverbs, didn't we? We were looking in Proverbs 2 real quick this morning, but just in the very beginning, it says, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for the ifs, if you receive my words, if you cry out for discernment, if you seek me as silver and search for me as gold and hidden treasure, then the Lord gives wisdom. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield. He guards the path of justice, I'm sorry to say. I need to correct that. But he guards the paths of justice. See, all these things that God does, there's a point in time, and all of the God's promises, there's things that we have got to fulfill. Amen? You have got to be a part of the plan. The part of the plan that works out what God is saying. You can't just sit down and say, well, God, you've promised me a glorious future. It's like really bad right now. I'm just going to sit here and wait for you to pull me through it. You're going to have to go through it with God's help. So no promise from God is without a responsible action to be taken on our part. You cannot expect to prosper until you, or until we, whatever, do what God has instructed us to do. What has God instructed you to do? You know it, right? Okay. But what has God instructed you to do? Ask him. Seek him. Many people want the promised results without the responsible commitment. And that's it. We don't have a committed people. God is looking for people that are what? Committed to him. Not committed to your job. Not committed to your toys. Not committed, even committed to your family and things, even though he's a God and he's in family and spouses and things like that. It all works when you put who first? God. If we put him always first in these things, everything will fall in order. Our natural mind looks at it opposite. We say, if I put God first, anything below that is second. Well, it is. But those things that are below God, that are a part of God's plans and destiny for you, they will be blessed. You know, your relationships, your marriage, your family, your jobs. Once we put these things above God, we have a disconnect with God. Because what's between us and God? That thing, whatever that thing is. And God is a jealous God. God is a God that says you can have no other gods or idols or anything before me. And it's nice if we think of the idols as a statue or a pillar or whatever it is, but your job could be an idol. Your spouse could be an idol. Your hobby could be an idol. Whatever it is that takes precedence over what God is. And oh, God's still here. God's in my life. I'm going to tell you this. You can't even have God here and your job here. It won't work. There's an order that God has, and it's only one order, and it's the only order that's going to work to receive his blessings. And what's that? God first, and everything else falls in line. God, spouse, family, children, spouse, family, kids, job. What happens when a man or a woman puts their job above their family? The family is destroyed. Because he or she is out working constantly to make more money, to get more notoriety, to climb the ladder of whatever success. And many men and women have climbed that ladder of success. And when they look back, they've had a, oh my gosh, look at all the destruction behind me. I feel good, but there's a lot of hurting people back there. Hurt relations. Loss of love. Put your hobby before God. Put your family before God. We think I'm doing the right thing. I think I'm doing the right thing, putting my family first, my family, my family. No, that's even not the right order. Because you're going to need God's wisdom to handle your family, to understand working through family situations. The mind of Christ. We got to have that wisdom of God. And Proverbs talks about that, how as we seek out that wisdom, like fine silver or gold or rubies, you know, she being wisdom, is much more important than anything of value of natural human side of things. And so we've got to be careful. We've got to make sure that we are committed to God and committed to Him first. Don't even be committed to the church above God. Be committed to God first. Amen? And take your responsibilities that you are given and be committed to them. Also, don't expect God's answers to leap to your schedule. Well, God, it's been 2 days now. This should have been done. It's been 3 months, 6 months. It's been 5 years. It's been 8 years. It should be done. I heard this from you, Lord, and I've done this, and it's not happening the way I heard you say it. Well, it wasn't that God said it that way. You perceived it to be that way because you turned it into your schedule of time and what your abilities were and what you really wanted to get out of it, and it wasn't what God wanted. Somehow you put where? God behind you, and you focused on the answer to that and how I was going to get it. So God doesn't jump to our schedule time. Oh, boy. How glad I am of that to a point, because I'd rather have it at God's timing, right, than my timing. We, you know, years back, you'd hear the thing like, well, God got here just in time. No, God didn't rush to take to that situation. He already knew how it was going to come out in His scope of time and what He has prepared for you. It was right on God's scheduled time. Oh, He got here just in the nick of time. God wasn't over here busy with something and looked over at your situation and go, oh my goodness, look, I've got to get over there right away. Tim's going to fall off the cliff. I got to get there now. Oh, He got here just in time. No, God was doing what God is doing all the time. And that time came and then He was there. He wasn't rushing. So many people want the promised results that God has for them, but they don't want to be responsibly committed to Him. They want Him to move on our timetable, not His. His answers will occur when we put His word into action. You got to keep onto His word, don't you? You know, we have many times during our prayer times on Tuesdays that alternates with Bible study to prayer, Bible study to prayer. And a lot of areas of prayer. And maybe, you know, we need to pull up God's word and what He says we are. And it's been a wonderful time during those times to where different ones have shared in the Psalms and things to where they have put that person's name where they will receive this or she will or he will do this for you. They put that name, that situation, amen? It talks about you got to name these things before God. You got to call them out as they are and put that name in there and believe it and then believe to stand on that and for God to what? Work in that situation. Put His word into action. His word is out there, amen? His word is in here. But you just can't say, Lord, just put your word to work in my life right now. No, you got to be specific. You've got to meditate in His word, right? Meditate with God. Read His scriptures. Read His verses. Read them really slow so that they sink in, so that the Spirit can nudge you at a particular verse or a particular word in a verse that just resonates within your spirit. And all of a sudden you're thinking, wow, that is a powerful word. That's those words that God has for your situation. Life consists far more than just obtaining and possessing things. Do you agree with that? We understand that, but there's a lot out in the world that don't believe that, huh? Life consists far more than just obtaining possessions and getting things. God wants us to enjoy a full, complete, and a balanced life. And he has made provisions through his word for us to be fulfilled. God wants you to be fulfilled in your life, amen? He doesn't want you going through and struggling. And now, you get into these areas of talking about how God is a loving God, caring God, has provisions for you, has a desire for you to be a success and all these things. And we look around sometimes at people or individuals, or even we look at ourselves, and we go, gosh, I don't feel like I'm receiving all the benefits of God. What's going on? I think we get back into the Proverbs area of wisdom, and we don't have that wisdom. We are using our own desires, our own thoughts, our own beliefs of how we could get there, and we leave God out of the equation. Remember, God doesn't work on your schedule, so if something doesn't happen when you think it should have happened, chances are you will set God on the bookshelf and say, okay, I'll take care of it myself because I know how I can do it, or I've got the wisdom, or I think I know what I can do. And it doesn't work. It usually fails. So we end up in some of our lives, in some situations, and we find out that, also it talked in Proverbs, what? Of having a decisiveness or being able to perceive things and understand things, that we have knowledge in that area. But you've got to be perceptive. You've got to be able to understand what the ramifications are of this. Okay? If I make this decision, what are the outcome possibilities? And you kind of study that. But I think, well, I know. Anytime that we're in a situation that's not of God, I don't believe it's God has put me there. I believe Tim put himself there because I didn't obey God. I jumped ahead. I reacted to a gut feeling of what I think should have been done. I think in some of those instances when we get out of the will of God and out of the blessings of God, I think it's those times that he steps back from us, as it says, and then it says that in Proverbs we've been reading as well, the first few chapters. It's like, you know, he'll take his hands off of you. It'll like you're on your own course. You have stepped across the line, and you're going to think you can do it, and I'm going to wash my hands of it. Because we talk about, and we've heard that, about people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All these things that God has told us and prepared us with his word. God wants us to enjoy a full, complete, balanced life, and he has more provisions through his word for us to be fulfilled. You've not arrived yet. Isn't it great to know that there's more things out there God has for you? God has for us? Ooh-wee. I'm going to turn to Luke. I'm going to go to Luke if you like. Luke 12. In 12:15. And this is that parable of that rich fool. So I guess that tells us that even though they're rich, doesn't make them smart, huh? Their foolishness and some riches. But in 12:15 it says that he says to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Take heed, beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Sometimes when we see people with a lot of abundance, we assume, wow, what a success they are. And then we come to find out that they're not quite the success we thought. They're not quite the person we perceive them to be. When you get to know them or you begin to listen to them, there's some things that they say, some misunderstandings and whatnot. So, life consists of far more than just obtaining and possessing things. And that's what, the world doesn't understand that. See, the world is into what? Get. Take. The more you get, the more you take, the more stuff you got, the more success you are. Life consists of far more than just obtaining and possessing things. Rather, God wants us to enjoy a full, complete, and balanced life. He has made provisions through His Word for us to be fulfilled in that way. He has promised to supply our every need. Philippians 4:19 would help us there. He has promised to fulfill the desires of our hearts. Psalms 37:4. But He also wants us to keep our priorities clear. What is your priority? The whole priority of our life should be to what? Seek first the kingdom of God. To seek first God. To seek first Him in our lives, in our daily walk, in the things that we do. If we don't keep Him first in those situations, now we're tying this, it's all kind of a root of, coming out of surviving to thriving, thriving as flourishing, growing vigorously, these things. To grow vigorously in those areas of God and things in your life from God, you know, it takes us seeking first His kingdom. It takes us seeking Him day in and day out, amen? Not just one day, not five times a week, but every day we need to be seeking Him and asking Him and searching Him for answers that we need. You get up in the morning and say, Lord, I just want to be a blessing to someone around my path today, or take me to where I could be a blessing to someone, or Lord, wherever I'm at, I pray, Lord, that they see You in me, or whatever the case might be. But Lord, it's more important for them to see You than them to see me. And you go out with part of that thought process, and you may not have, you know, like a big red letter day, like, wow, fireworks went off and everything happened. You should have seen. But it's giving God that availability to say, come into my life today, God, and lead me and guide me, and I want to honor You in my ways. So we give God that ability to say, come, take me, Lord, and use me. We're allowing Him to have us rather than us have Him. Because when we have Him, it's kind of like we put Him in our back pocket, and when we want something, we pull Him out and we want it and we use Him. And then when we get what we want or we're satisfied, we take Him and we put Him in our back pocket, and then we go on with life and we go on with what we want to do and what we think is important and what we want to accomplish and what I want to say or do or achieve. And then when something happens, oh, God, let me pull You out of my back pocket. I'm ready to use You again. But rather than that, rather than me having God, I want God to have me. To be led by Him for His thoughts, His desires. Come to me, Lord, so that I can glorify You, Lord. So that's talking about the rich young fool, asking, you know, what more do I need to do? You know, I've got this and this and this. We're going to jump again back to Psalms, and that's where we're going to end up. I think. It's kind of interesting. The first area that you go to, putting, I don't know, for this particular message together, it's like the first area I went to and started looking at, I ended up being the last area we go to. Psalms 92. Psalm 92. And actually, this is one of those first areas of verses that came to light to me as I was looking through and looking at that word thrive. So Psalm 92, if you want to drop down to verse 12, Psalm 92, verses 12 through 15. So it says this, starting out in 92:12, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Remember in the beginning of Survive and Thrive, one of the words talked about vigorously flourishing. So the righteous shall flourish, or you could put the righteous shall thrive like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish, or they shall thrive in the courts of our God. They shall do what? They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Really what this is saying, they shall be fresh, they shall be fat and green. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fat and green, or they shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So Psalms 92:12-15, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree, they shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish with the courts of God. They will bear fruit in old age, they will be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him, in God. So now you look at that. God is wanting to sustain us. He's wanting us, and interesting, you know, they're using palm trees, okay? They're using cedar. Back in the day, you know, they're using these things for what they, when they would see that or hear that word used as you will be like a palm tree, you will be like a cedar tree. It's because of the properties of those two particular trees. Palm trees are known for their long life. To flourish like a palm tree means to stand tall and live long. Isn't that good? Blessed is the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. They shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. So, the palm tree means to stand tall and live long. Palm trees do grow tall, don't they? The cedars of Lebanon grow to 120 feet in height, and they go up to 30 feet in some circumference. 30 feet? It'd be like from that wall, kind of like here. You figure out those tiles are 2x2. So let's see. So like 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Wow. That's pretty big. But that's... that's what he's referencing us to. He's referencing the righteous. Who here is the righteous? Amen. Me, count me as righteous, you know. Amen. The righteous will flourish like the palm. You're going to grow tall and big. You know, you're going to be like a cedar. My goodness, the cedar goes to 120 feet in height, 30 feet in circumference. It's not that we're, well, it's not going to be a tall, tall person and a big, big person that way, but it's showing the understanding of the depths of what you are related to these items in the natural, thinking about that. We are describing something that is solid, strong, and immovable. Wow. He's going to plant you, it says, in the house of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, remember, remember, we started out in Psalms 1:3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in its season. Wherever we're at with the Lord, with the Lord in our life, and a major part of our life, or the main thing of our life, he's just telling us in this word that you're going to flourish, amen? You're going to thrive. You're not just going to be, oh, well, that's great. That, you know, we're not discounting salvation. Oh, this person, oh, they all have salvation. They're all going to go to heaven, and everything's cool that way. But it's talking about they're not just promised heaven, but while they're here, he's going to make you thrive. He's going to make you flourish. You're going to be a standout, amen. You're going to be as high as a palm. You're going to be as big and noticeable as a cedar because of who you are, because of being the righteous of God. Amen. People are going to look at you. They're going to see something different. They're going to say, what is different about you? You're going to stand out. Hallelujah. You're going to be strong, solid, immovable in a problem, in a situation. Amen. You got a situation going on. You just put your roots down and you just stand strong because God is going to prevail for you. Hallelujah. The psalmist saw believers, us, you, me, as upright, strong, and unmovable by the winds of circumstances. Circumstances. You will either be victorious over your circumstances or your circumstances will rule your life. And what do you want to be ruled by? The circumstances? Or do you want to rule over them and say, you're going to bow to me because I'm a child of God. And he has promised this or that or this or that or this or that for me. He is my God. I am his child. I'm a kingdom, you know, I'm a kingdom kid. You know, you hear those things. But you're unmovable by the winds of circumstance. Many of us, happens, even to good people if you don't pay attention. Good people, good Christian people, good believers. The circumstances come up and different things happen and pretty soon you're moved by them. Like those crossing in the boat, amen, in the lake. The winds, the waves, they were moved by the circumstance and they cried out, oh, Jesus, get up here and help us, we're going to die. A circumstance in your life is just going to be the ability for you to see how God takes care of you through that. Oh, that's a testimony. You're going to look back and share and be able to give an example or share something. And it's an amazing thing as we hear people as they've gone through situations in life and how God brought them through that circumstance. But you're not blown by the winds of circumstance. Those placing their faith firmly in God can have this strength and vitality. Vitality. You're able to do things. You're up and about. You're vital. Vitality. I didn't look that word up, but you know, look it up. It's a good word. Amen. Have vitality in your life. And no, we're not saying vittles. It's not vittles. It's vitality. Vitality. Put your faith firmly in God. He can give you the strength and that vitality. That's in 12 and 13. So as we are reading, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Then we get down to they shall bear fruit in old age. To bear fruit in old age. No, it's not. Now we're not talking about, you know, having babies and things of that nature. You know, don't everybody get up and run out of here. Yeah. Honoring God is not limited to just the younger individuals. Honoring God is not just limited to a certain age group. Devout believers of older age can still produce spiritual fruit. Okay? See, we sometimes begin to figure and think like, well, after whatever age you want to put on it, I'm no use to God. What can I do? I'm 80 years old. What in the world can I do for God? I just don't have that staying power. I just don't. Things have changed. What about, you know, we can go through all kinds of things that we are just thinking that, what am I going to be vital for God? But even older individuals can still have a fresh outlook. And that's what we've got to have in as we age, is to have that fresh outlook. Amen? It's important for the younger ones to seek out those that are older that can share about experiences that the older ones have had with the Lord. Remember, I've shared in the past, I love older Christians and all, just to hear how their lives progressed with the things of God. And I just love hearing those stories, because it gives me something within myself, understanding that, wow, God, you are awesome. You are powerful. You take care of us. And whether it's many of ways that people have had God step into their life at all ages, and how they've survived, how they've thrived, and how they flourished and grew vigorously with God. Amen? That is good. So no matter what age you are, you know, still be devout to God and be producing spiritual fruit. Don't sit and think like, well, you know, only the world's ways tell you that you can retire. Okay, you worked 30 years, 25 years. Go ahead and just retire and just sit on the front porch and sit in the rocking chair, you know. No, with God, we never retire. You're always going. You always are working His plan. Amen. So I hope that finds encouragement in us as we get older, that you're still to produce spiritual fruit. You're still part of the vine. Amen. And then, you know, if you want to look that up, and we've had this Sunday school and we've shared before about, you know, the teaching of the vine and the branches and the importance of bearing fruit in John 15, in that area of John 15, verses 2 and then 4 through 5 and 16. But anyway, John 15 will tell you about that. But I'm going to, no matter what age, no matter what the things are happening, we still need to bear fruit. Because what will he do if you're not bearing fruit? He'll trim you. And you know, even when we're going through situations, that's a pruning process. Because what happens to a bush when you prune it back, and it comes back the next season or whatever? Usually it comes back bushier, it grows taller, whatever. I would talk about that and think like, survives and thrives because of being pruned. And so as we are pruned, you know, you're just going to be a bigger tree, you know. But I liked how we kind of looked at that and how he referenced it in Psalms in regards to the palm tree and the cedar, because those are some substantial trees. No, I'm sure glad he didn't say, you're not going to be like a weeping willow. Sometimes we've got a lot of Christians out there that turn out to be weeping willows, you know. Oh, God, why did you do this? Oh, God, why are you forcing me? Yeah. Anyway, God is good. God is love. Great are you, Lord. He gives life.